The Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. Whatever stage your business is at, there's always time to imagine sustainable, positive change. AIB, for the life you're after.
Well, to begin, two of Ireland's biggest trade unions, Forsa and SIPTU, released their gender pay gap reports, showing that, like many other organisations, there are still very real gaps there between men and women when it comes to pay. We should be expecting to see more gender pay gap reports around now, as employers with 50 plus staff are legally required to publish them ahead of the 30th of November deadline. So the question is, who's stepping up and who's falling behind? Jennifer Keane, founder of paygap.ie, is here to offer some insights as the deadline looms. Jennifer, the deadline is this weekend, effectively. Have many companies published their data so far?
It's a bit of a mixed bag. So I am gathering all the reports. I have about 230 or so reports. Now, there are some that I've found but not yet entered, so we could call that generously 300. But I had almost 850 companies reporting in 2024. So I'm expecting all of those companies to report again this year.
So you're expecting a lot of them to be technically late, but to maybe get there eventually.
Yes, and that's been my experience every year since the start of reporting.
What's the penalty for reports that are published late?
I email them and they ghost me.
You're the penalty.
I'm the penalty. There isn't one. There's two very complex pathways. The IHREC can take a company to the High Court, or if you work for a company, you yourself can take that company to the WRC. In both cases, the penalty then in the end is just you have to publish a report.
Now, a lot of them will just put it up on their website, which is making it publicly available, and that's all fine. But when it comes to a gender pay gap and these reports, how does that differ from equal pay? What exactly is it?
So the pay gap itself is the representation of the difference in earnings of an average man and an average woman in your company, which is different then again from equal pay, obviously the legal principle that you have to pay men and women the same for doing the same job. The pay gap itself, the percentage figure, is not necessarily saying you're paying a woman 20% less than a man. It's more a broad stroke representation of what does equality look like in your company? Is your org equal, particularly at the top, or are women not progressing up into those senior leadership, those
so
highly
in a
paid
way,
roles?
In a way, it also, for many organisations, gives a snapshot of legacy issues that have been inbuilt and how they're dealing with them as each year passes.
Exactly. And you see that in some organisations where, for example, the industry might be historically majority male. Okay, you do see bigger gaps there because naturally the highest paid roles are dominated by men because the industry as a whole is dominated by men. So it's not, again, that those companies are necessarily paying women less. It's that numerical representation of the fact that there's still a lot to do to ensure that anyone who wants to do that role can.
So 3 years on from when this was first introduced, they had to submit reports from 2022. What kind of progress has been made and how big are the gaps that remain?
In my opinion, very little progress, unfortunately. Year on year, my data set shows we're steady at about 11% of a mean pay gap. The last CSO figures are from 2022. They have us at 9.6%. We're lower third of the pack in the EU. But there are companies like Italy, Luxembourg, Belgium, even the UK doing better than us on those stats overall. So the needle hasn't moved very, very much.
One way in which the needle could move, and it wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing, but it might not be the full picture either. If an organisation hired a number of senior positions, they hired women into those senior positions, they would be better paid jobs at the top of the organisation. Would that automatically skew the overall figure quite dramatically in the company's favour to make it look as if they've changed a lot?
It would tend to, and that's one of the reasons why I'm always encouraging people to look beyond that first percentage. The reports, they have to report on their quartiles, essentially divide their workforce into quarters. And in each of those quarters, the lowest paid to the highest paid, tell me the proportion of men and women. That gives us a little x-ray into senior leadership, effectively, because those are the highest paid roles. Are women progressing up the organisation or aren't they? Sometimes, as you said, if you hire one or two very highly paid women, it will make it seem like your organisation has no pay gap or no progression issues. But then when you look at the quartiles, you can still see
throughout the organisation what it's actually like. And of course, the other thing is that by publishing them, there was a sense in which not so much a name and shame, but that everybody could see how organisations were doing. And that was going to be a bit of a stick instead of a carrot. But the other important thing is that for women, who work in those organisations internally, it's not just anybody can see it. Mm-hmm. They can see how the company is moving on this issue.
Yeah, you can see how your own company is moving. If you're considering moving from one company to another, you can see what their situation is, whether, as I said, those women are progressing. We know in a lot of organisations, they do say that it's the leaky pipeline problem, right? Women don't progress up the organisation. Women step sideways or out of roles. And that is exposed in the quartiles and in that kind of roundup view in that percentage gap.
So if you take out this idea of just hiring a few senior women in high paid positions at the very top, what's the best way to deal with this? Is it to have a culture where throughout the organisation, women are being adequately and properly promoted, reflected on their skills and ability?
That's it. I mean, that's a great place to start. And it's a lot of examining policies and just really seeing, are they actually fair? But also, can people fairly avail of them? I was at a conference on Tuesday and someone spoke about a policy where she was in the PSNI and then the Gardaí, and the inspectors couldn't work 4-day week.
So
that was just the policy.
And you get these sort of changes. Yeah. So, I mean, one of the things that might reflect it is working hours, flexible hours. Perhaps a lot of women would prefer that and may want that option, and that might be more prevalent in some sectors and organisations.
For sure. And I mean, that speaks very highly to the structural inequalities, obviously, that really contribute to that gap. The fact that women are still doing more of the childcare, more of elder care, etc. And that a lot of these things are unpaid. Maternity leave is not mandatory to be paid. Parental leave is unpaid. Women take the majority of that. And again, that represents their ability to even try and go for those promotions, never mind get them.
And on International Women's Day, Minister for Children and Equality, Norma Foley, announced that a central portal will be in place this year. What's happening with that?
Apparently they ran into some issues with the legislation. They spoke to the Attorneys General and it is now just a draft or a pilot portal scheme. They've asked some companies. They estimated between 600 and 1,000 companies they were going to ask to voluntarily register. At this point, per a press release earlier this week, 117 of those companies have registered.
So you're compiling your own portal, paygap.ie. That's essentially what you're doing.
Yep. And that's what I've been doing since 2022. So I'm at almost 2,500 reports now, each one read individually because there's no standard format. So it's very difficult to try and automate that data collection. It's, as I said, about 850 companies, but it should be about 6,000 companies this year. So that feels like a very unmanageable number. I've also noted that the government portal is going to be optional whether companies want to upload their previous year's data, which means that paygap.ie is going to still be the only historical record of that data.
Yes, you're going to be living with the numbers for a long time. Jennifer Keane, founder of paygap.ie, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.